Well, good afternoon to everybody. It's good to be here, and what Mr. Evans said is true. You know, he forgot us at the end, and he slipped our name in, and so we figured that we'd come up here. It does feel, I've never spoke like in a living room with a camera, and you can't hear yourself on the microphone. It's really interesting and different. So I'm glad that we're able to have this technology today in order to be able to get the message to all the brethren. So picture yourself being in a long checkout line at the grocery store. Now, a lot of people have been going to Costco lately. Of course, you're in the long line there because we have a lot of people hoarding toilet paper and sanitizers and all kinds of other things that people are trying to buy and figure out. Now, we live in Southwest Florida, and during hurricane season, we're very used to having to stock up on stuff. But never, ever have we stockpiled toilet paper. We stockpile gasoline, propane, and sometimes non-perishable foods. But this is a new thing on how toilet paper and paper towels got started to be hoarded. But the stores are very, very busy, and you're in a long line. Imagine yourself, you're waiting very, very patiently in line, or you're trying to be. At times, I've been known to, when I'm in a long line, it's at the grocery store, I get a little hungry. So I'll start nibbling on some of the stuff in my grocery cart. I feel it's right and everything because they're making me, you know, wait, okay? But you're waiting in line, and it may feel like a long, long, long time. But it's really not. The people in front of you, you're looking around and trying to keep occupied with something else and trying to forget that you're waiting in line, and you look through their carts and you see all kinds of stuff and the people in front of you, and then you look and you see this person in front of you shuffling through a stack of coupons. Now you're thinking, oh no, this, I'm gonna be really in this line for a long time. So your patience is wearing very, very thin. But good news arrives. You see through the corner of your eye that this other clerk is coming, and they're going to open up another checkout line right next to you. And then you're really, really happy. And you're thinking, wow, this person's doing it just for me. But what happens? Everybody else behind you is thinking the same thing, that they're going to open up. So all of a sudden, they're quicker than you are. They're past you, and now they're in line, and you're in the same spot. How do you feel about that? Now, you've got to understand that you're probably going to maybe get a little irritated or something. Some people really hate shopping, and you just want to get in there and get out, and you don't want to have to wait in line for so long. But what happens is you're thinking about it for a while, and you're getting irritated. You may get annoyed, but really, nothing has really changed for you. You're not losing your place in line. You still have the same people in front of you. Your checkout time has not been increased. You wanted it to be decreased by scooting into that new line, but you didn't make it. So nothing has really changed for you. But that's not going to make you happy, thinking that you're still in line and all these people now are in front of you that were behind you. And now you see them, and this cashier is going a little faster than your cashier. And don't forget, this person in front of you has a stack of coupons, okay? So we start comparing ourselves among ourselves. And you want to move in front of the line, but you have to wait. So God, of course, knows that we shouldn't compare ourselves among ourselves, but we don't. So what this afternoon I'm going to be going over is how God does not want us to compare ourselves with others, and that we don't have to be first in line. We don't have to be first in line. So let's go over another example. You're happy with your job. You've been working maybe for that employer, maybe 10, 15, 20 years, and everything's working out really good. It's not too far away from your house. But they hire a new employee with the same qualifications you have. What makes it worse now is they're paying that new employee more money than you're making. Okay? So this doesn't sound right, does it? You've been there 10, 15, 20 years, and now this guy that just walks off the door, maybe he's 15, 20 years younger than you are, and now he's making more, that person is making more than you are. It just doesn't seem fair, especially since you have worked for the company a lot longer. You had that bond with the employees, and here we got some rookie coming in now making more money. You may become unhappy now because you've compared your situation with somebody else's situation. But don't forget, your pay was not cut. You're making the same pay that you were last week. Your benefits weren't cut. You still do the same job. Everything is exactly the same, but it's just not fair, right? Well, what does God say about things like that? I think you know the direction I'm going in this afternoon. I'm heading. Let's look at a parable in Matthew 20. Here's a story about the farmer who was looking for some laborers to pick his grapes. Now, the farmer got up really early, and he was going to run over to where all the laborers gather that are wanting to work. Down by us, we have that, which they pick tomatoes for our farmers, and we call them day laborers, and usually they're at a 7-Eleven. And what happens is the farmer, he gets over there, and he's going to gather all these workers to farm his crops, his grapes. And they want to work, so that's why they're there. And they got their lunches and everything and their jugs of water, okay? And you may see that scene around other areas. What happened is the farmer, he hired right away a crew, okay? And he told the supervisor, go and drive them over to the land and get them working. And then, a little while later, the farmer goes back and sees if anyone else is there. Then he hires them and they go in. Then a few hours later, it happens again. And then near the end of the day, the farmer goes back there and gets some more laborers and has them shipped over to his farm to take care of the things. And he's told all the workers the same story. You'll get a good wage if you want to work for me. But let's go into the verse here. Let's go to Matthew 20, verse 8, and we're going to read to verse 10, and I'm going to read the New Living Version Bible. It's a real interesting translation here. Verse 8, when evening came, the owner of the grape field said to the boss of the workmen, call the workmen, give them their pay, start with the last ones hired, and go on to the first ones hired. Verse 9, then the workmen who had been hired at 5 o'clock came up. Each one of them got a day's pay for his work. When the workmen who had been hired the first thing in the morning came, they thought they would get more. But each one got a day's pay. So what we see here, the workers who worked the whole day were shocked and flabbergasted to realize that they were getting the same pay as the people that worked a lot less. No matter how long they worked, they all got the same pay, and they were supposed to go on their way. Of course, our current labor, relations do not work that way. You get what you work, and you clock in and clock out, and you get hourly or your salary. But remember, this is a parable. It's taught. It's there to teach us a lesson. God's ways and his thoughts are not ours. You may think that maybe it's unjust for someone to work such a short hour, maybe an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, and then there's a guy that worked 8 hours and he got the same pay. Doesn't seem right. But our ways are not God's ways. So let's go to verse 11, and I'm not going to read there, but the workers here, they were very, very upset. But the farmer answered in verse 13 by asking them a question. He asked them a question. Well, didn't we have an agreement? Didn't we have a understanding when I picked you up at that 7-Eleven in Southwest Florida to pick my tomatoes that I was going to pay you a certain amount? Why are you mad at me? So God gives us this parable to learn a lesson, a valuable lesson, that he does things in a certain way that we may not understand. I'm sure that in the Bible days, during the New Testament days, they didn't understand what that meant. They probably maybe thought that, hey, it's just not right that these people get to pay the same amount. But remember, God is always fair and just. He always is. And he always wants the best for his people, his church. Let's continue in verse 15. We're going to continue in verse 15. And we're going to read to verse 16. Matthew 20, verse 15 through 16. It says, "Do I not have the right to do what I want to do with my own money? Does your eye make you want more because I am good? So those who are last will be first, and the first will be last." A very common verse there, that verse 16 with the church of God. But let's say you've been in the church for a long, long time, for years, and you worked really hard. Maybe some of you have been in for 50 years, and you've worked really hard. You've been dedicated. When the struggles came that our former church said that we don't have to do all these things, you don't have to keep the Sabbath and the holy days, and maybe, you know, you stayed strong and you still kept the faith and everything, you served, and then you were looking forward to the time when God will say that his church will be protected in the place for 3.5 years. And then maybe you see at that time, you see a family member or a neighbor or the guy down the road there in the place that is being protected by God for his people. And you think, well, this person just started coming to church, doesn't understand things. This person has not suffered like we have. They haven't sacrificed. Maybe they haven't lost a bunch of jobs because you're dedicated to the Sabbath. And you had to lose a job because you wanted to work on Sunday instead of the Sabbath. And your boss said, no, I hire you to work on the Sabbath, on Monday through Saturday or whatever. And you were a dedicated member and you lost your job. And then this other person that I see now didn't go through those trials or these tests. Maybe they didn't work toward godly perfection the way that you think they should have. And now they're receiving God's protection and could be a first fruit like you and us and I. We must be prepared for any possibility that God will call people in the last moment, people who haven't heard ever of Herbert Armstrong. They're new to the church, but they're trying hard. And they're dedicated, and they want to learn God's way. And God's merciful, and he calls them to be protected with other people who have been in the church and dedicated for 30, 40, 50 years. Or maybe they're going to be called to be a teacher, or a deacon, or deaconess, or an elder, or a pastor. Those of us have been in the church for a long time, we need to be attentive, and we need to handle these situations gracefully. And the church is hiring younger ministers these days. Some of them might be the age of your grandkids. You might have to listen to them. You will have to listen to them if they're your pastor in your local church areas. How are we going to handle things? And God understands things, and He gives us help. I like to tell you a story about when I went to visit my in-laws in Louisiana. My wife Camille's from Louisiana, and I went to a small town in Louisiana, and then I needed to stop at a Walmart to get some paint because I was painting my mother-in-law's house. So I needed some brushes, paint, rollers. And what's bad, there's two things that are bad. It was December 23rd, in a Walmart, December 23rd. And I'm a northerner from Chicago in a southern Walmart in Louisiana, okay? So that may not be too good because I don't talk their language. You can imagine all the people there, the Christmas shoppers and everything. And then I got all my stuff and, in my cart and everything. And I'm waiting in line. And there's about 12 people, 12 Christmas shoppers ahead of me with a lot of stuff. And I'm thinking, well, I want to really get out of here so I can get going with my chores of painting. Then all of a sudden, you know what happened? The manager came up to me and grabbed all my stuff. And I'm thinking, does she know that I'm from the north and she's trying to kick me out of her Walmart, the Louisiana Walmart? Well, what happened is she opened up a new register. I paid for all my stuff and I got out of there. Okay. So why did she choose me? I don't even think, I know I didn't shave that day. I'm sure I didn't take a shower either. I might have smelled, maybe she didn't want me smelling bad in her Walmart. I figured I'd take care of everything after. I'll be working hard and painting. I didn't look good. I was just in jeans and, a junky shirt to own order to paint. I don't know why she picked me, but she did. She may have known I was a Chicago boy and get this guy out of here as quick as possible, this northerner. But I don't know. I really don't know. And I didn't ask her. I was just happy to get out of there and get going. My point is that God works the same way. We don't know why He calls one person compared to the other. And at times we may wonder and be bewildered. Why did God call this person? Okay. We don't know. It doesn't matter, according to God, how the person's dressed, what kind of job they have, what color skin they have, what color clothes or car they drive. It doesn't matter to God. And it doesn't matter what kind of education. He calls all those that He wants to call because He thinks we could do good, do God's work, and be in His kingdom. And that's what He wants. He wants us to be part of His family. And that's why He calls people. Anyone who's been around for a number of years can understand what we all go through. And that just comes with our calling. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. It says, yes, all who desire to live godly in Jesus will suffer persecution. So it pretty much says that, if you love Jesus and you want to do what's right, at times you will suffer persecution. I remember I've lost jobs because of the Sabbath, but always I got a better job. Sometimes things go badly for us. We may feel that we've been mistreated, maybe neglected, unappreciated at times. But God knows everything and He's aware of everything. And He will take care of it at His time, not our time. Our time is totally different. Let's flip over to 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 13, and read some words, some good words of encouragement. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 13. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 13. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. Doing good. There are challenges that we're going to go through in our life, our daily Christian life, but we have to continue to do good. We do. We can't grow weary in doing good. This reminds me of what Mr. Fisher said during the feast in Jamaica this past year. He said, this life is the wilderness, not the promised land. Okay? This life is not the wilderness. Life is the wilderness, not the promised land. He also said, how do I behave in the wilderness determines if I enter the promised land. How I behave in the wilderness determines if I enter the promised land. So that's really good advice, especially during the feast. Now let's see how God makes his decisions on calling his laborers. Let's go to 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Very familiar story about King David. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see all that man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. At the heart. So let's go back to that farmer in the vineyard. Notice that all who were paid a wage received a wage for one day's work. In other words, they had to endure till the end. The guys that were hired the first time, they had to work the full day. The guys that were hired after, they had to work till the end of the day. But they all had to do their work. They remained at the job. The planting, the growing, the harvesting continued until the job was completed at the end of the day. It could be at nightfall. And then they were paid their wages. So this landowner went out through the day and he found that pool of workers. People were ready to work. People were ready to accomplish what he wanted them to accomplish. We could say that God does the same things with his people, to finish the work for the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of God, to be first fruits. God is a God who knows when our calling is best. We're called at times, everybody different, young, middle age, older. God calls people. He calls them right at the right time. For some, it would be at the beginning of the day. Others, halfway. Others, at the end. But God knows what's best for his people. Even some lifetime members who were deceived over 25 years ago, they gave up. They gave up. But we had a member in our Fort Myers area that came back to church. It's one of my wife's good friends now. And she left in 1995. And she did not attend for 15 years. And then she walked through our door at church services. Since that day, she's been a serving, faithful, humble and loving Christian, but she beats herself up because she says, and I'm quoting, all that time I wasted. We tell her, continue on forward and press on toward the kingdom of God. Brethren, we can't waste our time with what God has given us. Let's turn to Paul's writing in Philippians 3, verse 12. And this is really interesting part of the Bible. Philippians 3, verse 12. It says, I don't mean to say I am perfect. I haven't learned all I should, even yet. But I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ saved me for and wants me to be. No, dear brothers, I am still not all I should be, but I am bringing all my energies to bear on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Now, if there's anybody that needs to forget his past, it's what Paul did to Christians in the New Testament, okay, before being called. And it still says, Paul, you know, he worked with Christ, and it still says that he has work to do, and he's concerned and worried. We have a lot of work to do. We need to be concerned and worried. But we, like Paul, we need to put that sin behind us. Repent, move on, and not look back, just like Paul tells us to. When we look at a parable like this, we also are taught another thing with the laborers and the vineyard owner. The work that which God calls us to, which he hires us as laborers, goes on to the end of the day. Remember we talked, you don't get paid until it gets dark and it's the end of the day. Our work never ends until we take that last breath. We can't give up. 25 years ago, I remember, and I'll never forget this, a good friend of mine who was in the church said, I can get my diploma now for church and just quit coming. I don't need to come. I've got my diploma, my degree, because that's what they were teaching. And that's sad. You don't get your diploma until you're with Christ in the kingdom of God. All these lessons that have been recorded all focus and aim us to the kingdom of God. God called us, and that is a great miracle. You know, people say, well, what's the greatest miracle? You know, turning water into wine. No, it's calling each and every one of us to his truth. To his truth. How can we throw away a miracle and quit the truth? Quit coming to church. Quit keeping the Sabbath. We can't. We have to continue on like those day laborers at the end of the day when they get their reward. That's what we need to do. We need to do it every day until we die. We all have all been called to do a great work of God. Various hours of the days we talked about. And we have to go in that direction where God leads us. Everybody has all different strengths and weaknesses. We have to continue on. We have to finish together. Finish this work together. During this crazy time of the virus upheaval, we must keep focused. Like Mr. Evans mentioned last Sabbath, how we respond to these things can be defining moments of our lives. Are we going to continue on? Are we going to look forward to, you know, the next holy days and having Sabbath back in our local congregation? God sees our great potential. He wants us to continue on and doing his work. And what will make God content and happy is for us to do that and then give us a reward at the end of that period, of that time. And we can't compare ourselves. We need to help each other, but don't compare ourselves. And we don't have to be first in line. And as a matter of fact, we read earlier where it said the first shall be last and last shall be first. Look at those day laborers. they all got the same reward, if they were the first one or the 100th one in the vineyard. So when you see all those people lying ahead of you, brethren, be patient and remember that parable. And we walk according to God's calling, His great miracle that He's given us in our lives. Each and every one of us has that great miracle. And it will be a great day of joy for God to say to each and every one of us, well done, good and faithful servant.